In God's word tonight to Daniel chapter 10. The prophecy of Daniel in chapter 10. We continue our series of sermons in the book of Daniel. Last time, 2 weeks ago, we considered Daniel 10 already, but tonight we focus in on verse 19 of Daniel 10. Let's read the chapter. We'll read Daniel 10, and then we'll read through Daniel 11, verse 1. Hear the word of God. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar, and the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. In those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone, and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me. For my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the voice of his words. And when I heard the voice of his words, then I was in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand, and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remain no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. And there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael your prince. Also, I, in the first year of Darius the Mede, even I stood to confirm and to strengthen him. We read that far in God's holy and inspired word. The text that we specially consider is verse 19. And he said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. In our series in the book of Daniel, before moving on to Daniel 11, it is appropriate for us to linger for a little while in Daniel 10, especially this verse, verse 19. It's appropriate because a couple of Sundays ago when we considered Daniel 10, we saw this passage, an unfamiliar passage to many of us, that there was so much in this passage to cover that we didn't spend much time on verse 19. So we seek to cover this more in depth today. Not only is there more in verse 19 in chapter 10 that we should consider, but especially there is a need. There's a need among us for the truth in verse 19. It addresses the need that we have of courage, and the need that is felt by man in general and by the church today of fear. We are a people who fear. Fear plagues the hearts of God's people more often than it should. And God's word comes to us very personally today. To Cornerstone PRC, to me, to you, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong. Yes, be strong. A familiar word. A word that is familiar because it's repeated again and again in God's word. Joshua 1 verse 9, remember when Moses had died and left the people of Israel and Joshua in charge, God said to Joshua, Be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid or fear not, neither be thou dismayed. The Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. To Abraham God said, Genesis 15, 1, Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Jesus said repeatedly to his disciples, who struggled with the same thing of fear. Fear not, peace be unto you. Such words are familiar to us, but the repetition, think about this, the repetition of such words in Scripture indicates to us how frequently we need them repeated. That is, it repeats to us or shows to us how frequently we are in need of such exhortations. Fear not. I remind you of the context in Daniel. Daniel is about 90 years old right now in Daniel 10, as he shows in the third year of King Cyrus. He is living in the land of Persia. A couple of years earlier, before this third year, when Daniel writes this or has this vision, Cyrus had decreed that any of the Jews who were in the Babylonian captivity and now in Persia were allowed to go back to Jerusalem, to Canaan, and rebuild the temple and rebuild the walls. And you remember the history that some Jews returned back to Canaan to rebuild the temple, but many stayed. Many of them, in the weakness of their faith, stayed, desiring the things of Babylon. The Jews who had returned, you remember, had trouble rebuilding the temple. particularly because of human enemies like the Samaritans, which opposed the nation of Israel back then. And not only opposed them physically and attacking them as they tried to build the temple, but they opposed them politically and working with some of the Persian leaders to stop this rebuilding. They oppressed the people. And because of the hindrance in the rebuilding, the people slowed down in the building and finally stopped. And it's in that context that Daniel, in the third year, Cyrus is praying to God. He is troubled by the delay and the hindrance in the rebuilding of the temple. He mourns and he prays. We saw that last time. And in Daniel 10 now, God sends an angel. He sends an angel to Daniel as his messenger in response to Daniel's prayers and Daniel's mourning. For 21 days, Daniel prayed and he saw no angel. And yet, as we considered last time, in answer to Daniel's prayer, God had immediately sent this angel to engage in a spiritual warfare that was going on, though Daniel did not see the spirits, the fallen angels, and the other angels that were engaged in this warfare. And now after 21 days, this angel that appeared to Daniel explained to Daniel what we know of in Ephesians 5, verse 12, that we wrestle not merely against humans, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, darkness in high places. Daniel's response is fear. Daniel's afraid. That's his weakness. And that is why the messenger of God has to bring this familiar exhortation. O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto you. And though I am not an angel, I, as a messenger of God, stand before you to preach to you the same thing. And may God's word, no matter who the messenger be of strength to you. Consider with me Daniel's strengthening. First, his weakness. Second, his strength. And then finally, God's word. Fear was Daniel's weakness. That's why God tells Daniel through this messenger, fear not. Fear is real. Fear is understandable. And yet the command, the imperative, as we find it here in verse 19, is thou shalt not fear. When you do fear, push it out. Stop. Fear not. Now it's important when we consider this word, fear and fear not, that we distinguish between two kinds of fear that the Bible talks about. There is a proper kind of fear, and then there is an improper kind of fear. The proper kind of fear, which is actually a command to have in the Bible, is the fear of God. The fear of God. In our day and age, we call that fear of God a reverence for God, a respect for God, for His holiness. Proverbs often speaks of this fear. Proverbs 1 verse 7, one of the most familiar verses about fear and the fear of God in the Bible. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom or knowledge. Such a fear of God is right. And in fact, in last time's sermon on Daniel 10, we saw that there was an appropriate reverence that Daniel had when the angel of God appeared to him and reflected the holiness of God before him, just as Isaiah did and as Peter did before Christ. So also we should have a reverence before God. And too often, the fear of God is missing when we approach God in His house. Too often the fear of God is missing when we approach His very inspired word. Too often the fear of God is missing when we lackadaisically come to Him in prayer as though we're talking to a buddy. There ought to be reverence, not a mere external formality, but a heart that fears God. This is the whole duty of man, Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13, fear God and keep His commandments. So when the angel here tells Daniel, fear not, he is not in any sense saying, don't have a respect for God and His holiness. But what is it that Daniel was doing that was wrong, that was improper? That is that Daniel was scared. He was experiencing terror. He was afraid. And that's the kind of fear that the angel tells Daniel. No. Stop. Fear not. Now, an important question. What was Daniel afraid of? This is where the application comes to us very, very importantly. We've got to answer that question. What was Daniel afraid of? Improperly so. What was he frightened about? Now, we could say that he was frightened about the appearance of the angel. The angel itself was scary. And there would be some truth to that. In verses 8 and 9, we see that angel appearing to him, and all the other companions of Daniel run away and hide, and Daniel falls on his face and he faints. He's trembling. But then in verse 12, we see the angel say, fear not. And the angel raises Daniel to his feet, and Daniel is enabled. He is enabled by the angel to stand up and to listen to the angel's words. Daniel seems to gain a composure about him. And so, what is he actually fearing? Not, it seems, mainly at least, the appearance of this angel. And then the angel proceeds to talk about the spiritual battle we talked about last time, verses 13 and following. And there was a spiritual battle that this angel had been engaged in with Michael's help against dark powers. That may be what Daniel is fearing. Verse 14 is key. This is what Daniel hears, and then, having heard this, he falls again in a second round of trembling and fear. The angel says to Daniel, now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. Why did Daniel become overcome with fear again? Because Daniel was afraid of what would happen to his people. Because Daniel was afraid of what might happen to his church in the future. Because Daniel was afraid of what might happen to his loved ones. To the people of God, as they faced the attacks of the evil one, and as they faced the trials of life on this fallen earth. He's afraid of what the angel was going to say was going to happen to the church in the anti-Christian times, when the Antichrist rose. And the people were attacked, not only physically, but spiritually. And there would be apostasy, a falling away. He was afraid of what might happen to his people. Is that what's going on in your heart this evening? Are you trembling in fear? What will come upon Cornerstone in the future? What will come upon my loved one who is suffering from cancer? What might happen if a blood clot led its way somewhere else? Where will my children be 10 years from now? How soon will death come upon me? Who is going to lead this congregation? Who will be our office bearers? Will they be equipped to take us through the hard times? What conflicts will arise in our relationships and our families, in our church and church community or denomination? Do you fear? What kind of persecution may come? Verbal and physical. What is that mark of the beast? What will that Antichrist do to us? What will be the long-term effects of medications and technology? Lots of fears. What will befall the people of God? What will befall me and my family and my loved ones in the Church of Jesus Christ? That is what made Daniel fall upon his face again in fear. And this is what made Daniel, through fear, incapacitated. Incapacitated. I use that word because it's more common for our understanding today. But that's what Daniel means when he describes himself as having no strength due to his fear. Fear debilitated Daniel. Fear made Daniel unable to do anything. Fear made Daniel weak mentally, emotionally, and physically. He couldn't listen even. And the angel knew that. The angel didn't continue talking until he raised Daniel up. He couldn't even listen and process what the angel was thinking or saying. Verse 16 speaks of sorrows. With fear about the future, what might befall the people of God, and knowing that it was going to be hard times, Daniel was filled with sorrows. Fear brings this uncontrollable sadness and despair even upon God's people sometimes. Oh Lord, he says in verse 16, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me and I've retained no strength. And the verse 17, he says, for as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. He was having what we might call today a panic attack with shortness of breath because of fear. Not only mental inability to process what the angel was saying, not only an emotional difficulty with despair and sorrow, but also a physical effect upon his body in his shortness of breath. Have you ever experienced that? That is sometimes what God's people feel. Worry, anxiety, or we might even use the word concern, are all just other terms to talk about fear. Fear that incapacitates us too often to make our mind think irrational thoughts, to take on the role of a prophet, imagining that we can predict the future, but predicting all the worst things possible. A fear that drags us to emotional despair, so that we're inconsolable, and even brings us to being angry. Why God would let us have to suffer through that. And fear affects us physically, so we cannot breathe at times, but maybe we cannot speak, cannot bring ourselves to do much as we face depression in fear. It's good to acknowledge. It's good to acknowledge such fear before God. God's word comes to us with love. It is love, but with firmness. Fear not, greatly beloved, fear not, O man. That's an interesting way of addressing Daniel. I believe it's intentional. When we hear the word man, men, when we hear the word man we might immediately think, men need to be tough. Men need to be the ones with courage. We say things like, I need to be a man now. To be manly means to be courageous, and that's true. We're supposed to be. But the truth of the matter is, because of the fall, as a result of the fall, and after Adam fell, remember what Adam did? He ran and hid in fear. Because of the fall, our natures, our fallen natures, have this struggle. And men, we might act tough. We might act strong. We might act courageous. Put on that macho outward veneer. But it's good to acknowledge before God, even if we don't acknowledge it before everyone else. Because God sees it anyways. I'm like a trembling child in the inside. Oh man, Daniel says, you who are supposed to be courageous, you who are supposed to be strong in your fallenness, you are fearing. Acknowledge that before God. But now fear not, fear not, fear not. That's the negative, and the positive is be strong. Cast out fear. Stand before God and recognize He is your strength. What is this strength? What is this strength that we are to have to cast out fear? What is the strength we are to have in our new man, in the new nature that God has worked in us to cast out the fear that we feel at times, oh man and women? Here's the heart of it. It is the knowledge of God's love. Simple, but profound. The knowledge of God's love to you is the power by which you are able to cast out fear. That is in the text. That is how the angel addresses Daniel. Oh man, he says, greatly beloved. This is the third time that Daniel has been addressed this way. In the first place, in chapter 9, verse 23, a different angel had come to Daniel at a different time in a different vision, and that angel had said, O man, greatly beloved, thou art greatly beloved. 9, verse 23. Earlier in this vision, in chapter 10, verse 11, the same angel had brought this comfort to Daniel. Oh, Daniel, you are a man greatly beloved. And now for the third time, he repeats what is necessary, what is needed in the heart of Daniel. You are greatly beloved. That's one word in the original. It means, best translated, precious. Oh, man, precious. Precious to God, desirable to Him, of greater value than all the valuables on this earth, beloved of God. Fear is driven out by love. That's 1 John 4:18, parallel here, parallel to this passage. There is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear. And that text in 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 is not first of all talking about our love for God. That our love for God casteth out fear. But it's first and foremost talking about this. God's love for you is what casts out fear. God's love for you is the power by which fear is cast out. Here the angel helps Daniel in this with the word of God about God's love. The antidote to fear is this trust in His love. Do you fear? Do you have some phobia about something you might face in life? You have a fear of a split. You have a fear of the Antichrist. You have a fear of judgment day, of what God might say to you on that last day, because you see all your sins. Do you have a fear of what people think of you? Any fear, really? Do you have the fear, as Daniel had, of what might befall the people of God? Then remember, meditate. It's not a fleeting thought, but meditate on the deep, deep, deep love of God for you. I wonder how much we really know that love. As a church and denomination, we rightfully defend the doctrines of grace, we call them. And grace means the love of God. We correctly hold to a particular kind of grace, and not a universal love for every single person head for head. We correctly hold to unconditional election, which is the love of God from eternity toward us, and only us as people, not to everyone, merely of grace or love, according to His good pleasure. We hold to the doctrine of the unbreakable bond of marriage even. And what's that about? Well, that's about love. The unbreakable bond of love that continues between husband and wife to reflect the love of God for His people and His bride, the church. And all of our defense of the doctrines of grace, but His love, people of God, it sometimes escapes our hearts. And all of our defending to actually know that love of God toward me and toward you. Let us not be merely arguers and defenders about God's love, but let us be those who know His love and trust His love. And when the fear level rises in our hearts as it does, and when we worry, and with all our worries, we suspect one another with fears, we are really forgetting God's love and His loving promises toward us. Love casts out fear. And you know where that love of God is to be seen most of all. I preach to you the simple gospel. The love of God is most clearly demonstrated to you, and it was demonstrated to Daniel too in prophecy form at the cross. At the cross. Daniel knew this, chapter 9, verse 26. We've considered that text already. He saw in vision form the Messiah was to be cut off. That's the love of God demonstrated. Here in His love, 1 John 4, verse 10, before John talks about perfect love casting out fear, here in His love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and He sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins, that is, to be a covering for our sins. If we want to see love, John says, don't first of all stare at how you love, because if you stare at how you love God, you will not be able to cast out fear. But if you stare at how God has loved you, then you may see how fear is cast out. Look at the cross of Jesus Christ and see Him who has come, who is God, and has humbled Himself to suffer and to die for you. And don't stop looking at the cross. Don't stop meditating on Jesus ever. It's when you do that you will fear. Romans 5, verse 8, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Unlovable people, and yet He came and voluntarily sacrificed Himself in our place. Here is perfect love. Here is perfect sacrificial love. And here is love not only done for us, but imputed on our account, so that God sees us as those who are perfect in His sight. Do you believe that love? Do you trust in that love of God? My prayer is, as Paul was for the church, Ephesians 3:19, that you may be able to comprehend, understand the fullness, that's what comprehend means, with all the saints, what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height of what? To know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. That he may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now the question you should be asking your minds now is this. How does the love of God in Christ Jesus cast out fear? How is it that that drives out fear? All fear. Fears about what may befall the church. Well, listen, let's reason together. Is not this God of love sovereign? Is not this God of love in control of everything that will befall you? Is not this God of love in control of cancer, of blood clots, of pain? Is not this God of love in control of this church and her future and her leaders? Is not this God of love in control of your children and what may befall them? And of the Antichrist himself. And of every bit of persecution that comes your way. And of death also. That's how. When you say yes. When you know that by faith. That this God of love is sovereign. And he will not do anything against us. But He will do. He must do in His love for us in Jesus Christ, all things for our good, for us, and never against us. Greatly beloved, you who are loved by the sovereign God, every Sunday of vacancy, every hardship in the consistory room, every disagreement among members, every piece of schism that men do in their own sin, every family difficulty, every failure also is guided. Yes, you're responsible too, but guided by the sovereign love of God for us. That's a strong love. And if you know that strong love, that casts out fear. And that gives us peace. Peace. Shalom, the angel says to Daniel. Peace. Peace is, first of all, what is going on between you and God. Sinners by nature who are to be enemies at warfare with God are through the blood of Christ now at peace, that is reconciled with God, in friendship, in covenant with God. Is that not peaceful to you? The greatest fear that you have, the root of every fear that you have, and I have, is the fear that God is my enemy. That God's against me. And because of one too many sins or too gross of a sin, He's going to lash out at me as an enemy. That's the greatest fear. And I say to you this evening, that's an irrational fear for those who are believers. You have peace with God because of Jesus alone. and peace be unto you. God's word should have that effect. As familiar and as simple as it is powerful. This is what we see happening to Daniel in its context. In this context and text, God is strengthening him by his word. When the angel spoke those words, you see, the angel was not only telling Daniel a command. You shouldn't fear. Thou shalt not fear. Oh, that is the imperative. That is the imperative. But what the angel was doing was this. He was preaching an effectual word. The effectual word of Christ. Just as Christ said, let there be light, and there was light. Just as Christ said, Lazarus come forth, and Lazarus came forth. Just as Jesus said, peace be still, and there was peace upon the stormy waters of the Sea of Galilee. So he spoke through the angel to the trembling Daniel. Fear not, greatly beloved, peace, be strong, yea, be strong. And there was peace, there was calm of the waters that tossed this way and that in Daniel's soul. What God did was this. He did not just command Daniel not to fear, but he commanded the courage to get into Daniel. He did not just command Daniel to be at peace, but he commanded peace to be in Daniel. He commanded faith in God's love to be instilled in Daniel's heart. It was an effectual word that he, by his Spirit, worked with his word. Listen, people of God, not just with your physical ears, but with your heart. Not just a chant, but the meaningful word of God. I am not an angel. But it's not the angel himself in this text that strengthened Daniel. The text is very explicit. It is the word, not even of the angel, but it's the word of God that the angel was merely an ambassador to bring. And so I say, I claim to you this evening, that though I am not an angel, the word of God, which was powerful back then in Daniel's day to strengthen Daniel, is the same word that God brings through weak means. Fear not. Peace be unto you. Be strong. That is, be courageous. Yea. And to repeat it for emphasis, be strong. When that word affected Daniel's heart, notice, while before he was incapacitated, he strengthened spiritually. But that affected him mentally. And it also affected him physically. May that be the way God strengthens you too. You may live, people of God. You may live not in despair, but going forth through this difficult life to do the work of God, to live for Him, and not to fear. No, the promise of God is not, last point, the promise of God is not, and the angel's word here is not, that life is going to be easy, that the future of this church is going to be that of ease. It's not that. That's not the promise. That's not the promise of God's word ever until we reach heaven. It's not a life of ease. And we may try to make it that, but it's just not. And we'll learn it sooner rather than later. Chapters 11 and 12 are full of hardships that the angel will continue to tell Daniel comes upon him and the church. There are many enemies. There are wars and rumors of wars. But God is with you. Lo, Jesus says, I am with you, even unto the end of the world. And the God that is with you is a God of sovereignty and a God of a love you have yet to fully comprehend. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom in the end. Amen. Let's pray. Father, grant unto thy church here and thy church wherever she may be a certain knowledge and the assured confidence of thy sovereign grace and thy everlasting love to them. Give knowledge of the breadth and depth and height and length of thy love in Christ Jesus, and strengthen us in the inner man thereby, and enable us thereby to live not in fear but with courage, honoring, respecting thee before thy face. And through any difficulty and trial that thou dost arrange for us, let us never doubt, O God, let us never doubt thy goodness and grace, but press onward, trusting in thee. Forgive us once again when we have lacked in that trust. Forgive us, we believe. Help our unbelief. For Jesus' sake, amen.